Hello, good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a brief word of prayer. Jesus, we give thanks to you, Lord, that we can start the day with you. A new day, a new start, God, and we really want to align ourselves with you. Help us to just discern your will, hear your voice, Lord, and would your word today speak to us, convict us, give us direction and purpose, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 20. We're going to read from verses 21 to 25. Verse 21. An inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? It is a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after the vows to make inquiry. Amen. Amen. Okay. Verse 71, it says, an inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. And this is the idea of you having the responsibility to bless and give resources to someone. And when we're talking about an inheritance, it's usually a father giving their inheritance to their child. And what comes to mind is the story of the prodigal son. And we see in the story of the prodigal son, he demands his inheritance early. Right. Usually you would receive your inheritance later, maybe after your parents pass. And he demands it early. And what does he do with the inheritance? He squanders it. He doesn't have the wisdom, perspective, the appreciation to do rightly with that inheritance. And it says it will not be blessed in the end. And we see that, right? What was supposed to be a blessing, what was supposed to help him in life, he squanders it. He has no more money, he's suffering, he's living with basically pigs. And not only that, but all his friends, every friendship he has, they all turn away from him. And so it's not just he has no money, he feels betrayed, he feels used, and what was supposed to be a blessing turns out to be probably quite a traumatic moment. And so that's one of those things. When things come, especially money, when it comes too easy, right? If you've just been provided everything, especially as a child, you don't appreciate it. And if you don't appreciate it, you're not going to steward it. When do you really appreciate money? Hopefully. Is when you finally have to work and you realize work, it's hard. You have to work hard. You put in a lot of effort and then you get this money, and behind that money, you recognize the value of the money, and now you see the worth of the money, and so you're not going to squander it, right? And even as you give and tithe, give to the Lord, it's a lot more meaningful because you recognize what went into it. And so stewardship comes with knowing that something is precious. Easy money doesn't bring about financial responsibility. And so just to take this a step further, whether you are a parent in it, whether you're a parent or a leader or someone in charge, right, you have to be wise. I think of a parent and a child giving them screen time. No big deal. You get a little break. You give it to them too early, they can't control themselves. I gave my son, he was playing some game, and I didn't even know what it was. It was this game called Brawl Stars. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. I didn't know anything about it. And he started playing it, and I said, hey, Jonah, you can only play for 5 more minutes. After 5 minutes were up, he was still playing. And I was like, hey, turn it off. And he's like, let me just finish this. Let me finish this. And then I got really upset at him. Like, basically, how dare you disobey? You said 5 minutes and you didn't keep your word. And I got really upset, and, you know, he had all these consequences. And then I looked at his game, Brawl Stars. It's super addictive. The whole premise of the game is like, you got to go online and collect upgrades, and you do stuff and you get more awards. And then I see the age. The age is like 13 plus. And then I recognized, he's not at fault. I'm at fault. I gave him access to this super addictive video game, and I expect him to be able to moderate himself. And quite honestly, I found out a lot of adults play this game, and they're completely addicted. And so the onus was on me. So I actually, well, first I deleted the game, and then I went before my son. He's 7, by the way. He was 6 at this time. And I apologized. I said, like, basically, sorry, I shouldn't have gotten upset of you. Actually, it's my fault. It's my fault that I let you play. This game is way too addictive. And so we have a responsibility. And even with, you know, people you are leading, if you're in a manager position or ministry leader, I'm also a house church pastor, you give people responsibility too early and they can't handle that responsibility, it actually takes them a step back. I know of leaders, like, you know, we just want to multiply and grow. So we're like, hey, yeah, why don't you lead? And we're kind of like, in faith, I trust you. And then they struggle. They feel like they can't lead. At the end, they feel like a failure. And as a result, they actually have to be healed and restored because of this traumatic experience of being a leader. And so that's kind of our goal, especially as in the church. Like, we want to raise up leaders, but we need to have discernment. We want to set up people to succeed, and train them, have them be prepared, and not just throw them and hope, okay, you figure it out with God. Because sometimes that doesn't happen. Verse 22, it says, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. And in Romans 12:19, it says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I will repay. We leave vengeance to the Lord. I know, we oftentimes will say, I forgive, and I'll never forget. Or, you know, I forgive, but I'm not going to let... The reason we say I'll never forget is because we don't want to let the person off. I remember, because this is how, I guess maybe we justify in our heads that this is the justice. Or it's unjust, or we feel like it's not fair if I totally, 100%, completely forgive the person. But that's exactly what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to fully forgive the person. That doesn't mean if someone like takes your wallet, someone lies to you, and you think next time, that doesn't mean you leave your wallet out for them to steal, right? But what it does mean is you give them another chance. Because when we say, I never forget, what does that really mean? It says, I'm never going to build relationship with them ever again because I don't want to let them hurt me ever again. And so I'm going to create this line and in my heart where I'm just not going to be open to them. I'm not going to spend time with them, but I forgive them. Right? That's not what the Lord wants. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, relational. And God wants us to be relational. He wants us to forgive. He wants us to reestablish relationship. And if you've been hurt, the reality is it takes steps to rebuild that trust. But are you even willing to be open to rebuild and try again. And the Lord asks us to try again and again and again. And if we reject that and say, no, vengeance is mine, then you need to be prepared and not be a hypocrite, which is other people are deserving of asserting their vengeance on you, or even God's vengeance on you. And I'm sure for yourself, you're like, oh, mercy. Please forgive me. I've sinned. Forgive me. And so if you freely want to receive that forgiveness and be absolved of that wrath and vengeance, then we need to do the same for others. Verse 23. Differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Differing weights are an abomination. Abomination. This is probably the strongest word. One of the strongest words of expressing such distaste and dislike from the Lord, which is, in this context, differing weights. You know, when you weigh something and if something is supposed to be, say, 100 grams or 1 kilo, it has to equal that. If it doesn't equal that, what use is the weight? But the context is, if you are being dishonest and you're trying to rip someone off, then you would have a weight that is either more or less, depending what you're trying to do, but whatever will enable you to charge more money. And same with the scale. If the scale is kind of faulty, if you're doing it intentionally, then you're trying to do something dishonest. And God hates that. He doesn't like the dishonesty, not just because you're ripping people off, but you're not being true to yourself. And most of all, that dishonesty, it reflects what you believe. It reflects your trust. Like, why would you have this greed? I mean, it's all greed. Why do you want to save a few dollars? Why do you want to get ahead? Because you feel like, I need this. Maybe for work, right? You're doing something a little suspicious, not forthright. Why are you doing that? Because you want to get ahead. You trust in your own abilities instead of really trusting in God, that He will provide, He will take care of you, He is moving in your circumstances. And this can happen very subtly, right? It's not just big things, but even little things. You not being completely transparent, you can say like, oh, I'm being honest. You know how sometimes you think, oh yeah, I'm not telling a lie, but you know the person that you're talking with is misunderstanding you. You know they don't really fully understand what you mean, and maybe you leave out little details. So technically, the words you speak is not a lie, but you know what is communicated is not the whole truth. And so even that is displeasing. God wants you to be completely honest and real. And if that's you, you simply repent. Because I think sometimes these things that happen where we're kind of a little dishonest and put in that situation when you don't have a chance to respond, we just respond and we just do it. I'll be the first to admit, I do this all the time. It just creeps up on me. I just went to, had a vacation in Da Nang. And I didn't even know anything because my wife booked everything, but we booked a room and my mother-in-law came, and it was for five people, but there were only four breakfasts that were available. And then when we checked in, there was this argument happening. I didn't really pay attention, but afterwards my wife was like, oh shoot. I was like, what is it? And then she said, like, yeah, like they were in an argument, and because it was a four-person room, and it was actually five person, they wanted to charge them extra. And in that moment, and she's like, and we booked it for four people. And so the right thing would be, I was like, oh, okay, I guess, shoot, I didn't know we did that. We should pay that extra person fee. But instead, we're like, we basically devised this way to not lie, because we didn't confront them or tell them, and they didn't confront us. But we were like, okay, what we need to do is we'll never walk into the hotel with five people. So it was ridiculous. The whole trip was like either groups of two and three all the time. And we didn't eat five-person breakfast. We had four-person breakfast. And it was so stressful the whole time. And then sometimes my kids would say something like, hey, Appa, like, and we'd get upset, like, shoo, be quiet. And they were like, they even expressed, like, Appa, like, isn't this wrong? Isn't this, like, dishonest? Isn't this, and I was like, and we were just like, shoo. And then afterwards, I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? In the moment, it wasn't an intentional choice of, I choose to disobey and dishonor God. But in that moment, it just was like easy. And it's something I could get away with. It was the greed. It just crept in. And so, of course, afterwards, I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Why? It's like, we can actually afford to pay a little bit more. And Da Nang's cheap. Why did we want to like cut these little corners? Because it was easy. And so, of course, repented. I'm still thinking of like how to. I think I'm going to actually email the hotel, because you know when you repent, you got to make things right, be forthcoming. So I'm going to email the hotel and basically tell them, like, hey, we were five people in the room when you know we didn't have extra breakfast. But if that's you, you got to repent, because this is displeasing to the Lord. And you don't want to let this create separation between you and the God. Verse 24. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his ways? Man's steps are ordained. Especially if you're older, hopefully you see, we have very little control. We make all these plans. We have these aspirations. I hope to end up here. And oftentimes, they don't work out exactly as you see. And especially if you've been walking with the Lord, you see actually, oh, even though my plans weren't transpiring, God's plans were still at work. And so God's plans, God is in control. And it says, how then can man understand his way? And so this is kind of rhetorical, which is we can't. And so we need to respond in humility and recognize, I don't have the answers. I can't make things work. What I need is I need God to instruct me. And I just want to say, even though you recognize this, that how can I understand ways? That doesn't mean you don't make plans. That doesn't mean you don't make desire. You don't have any desires. Sometimes I feel like Christians are super spiritual, and I ask them, hey, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want? And they say, whatever God wants. I'm like, okay, that's good, but what do you want? Because what God wants is he wants you to have desires. He wants you to know what you want. He wants you to be aware of what's going on in your heart. But then after you figure that out, you surrender it. You can't surrender something if you have nothing there of value to give up. That's the test of your faith. When you're put in a difficult moment of choosing what you want and what God wants. And when you choose what God wants, that's faith. And it reflects what you really believe. Right? And, you know, as I shared about that hotel story, I was put in this moment. Even my kids were like, isn't this wrong? And I chose to save some money. But then at least when the Holy Spirit convicted me, made me aware, again, I was put in this choice. I don't want to email the hotel. It's so awkward. Hey, just so you know, I don't know, like, they probably never even get this type of email. But I'm put in this choice, right? And I even more convicted with today's verses, right? God wants us to be honest and forthright. Finally, in verse 25, it says, it is a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after the vows to make inquiry. What does that mean? Okay. It helps. I'm going to read from the Message. And the Message says, an impulsive vow is a trap. Later, you'll wish you could get out of it. And this specific context is making vows to God. What it's saying is, don't be rash. Don't be too quick to do that. Don't be led by your emotions, your impulsiveness. You know, you feel this, I don't know, you're slain in the Spirit. You feel filled by the Holy Spirit. You know, you're crying your eyes out and you're so emotional. So you're just like, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to fast. And I promise this is what I'm going to do for you, the Lord. Don't let your emotions, even good things like promises to God, don't be impulsive. Don't be too quick. And this isn't just with God. I mean, the context of God. It's just even in general, right? Don't make promises you can't keep. Because if you can't keep them, especially with God, it's a sin. Right? In Deuteronomy 23, 21 to 23, it says, when you make a vow to the Lord, your God, you shall not delay to pay it. And so the expectation is, if you make a promise, you better fulfill it or act on it right away. For it would be sin in you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. However, if you refrain from vowing, it would not be a sin. You shall be careful to perform what goes out from your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised. So don't be quick to make those promises. Because it says, and after the vows, the consequence, or what happens is, after the vows, you make inquiry. Which means, after you make the vow, after you make the promise, then you count the cost. Then you're like, oh shoot, I made this crazy promise that I'm going to stop drinking and I'm going to start partying. For example, I'm going to stop smoking. And then you realize, oh my gosh, this is what my life is like. What am I going to do with all this time now? I'm so bored, I'm so lonely, I don't know. So you only count the cost and recognize the responsibility of your promise afterwards. But you should really go through this process before, right? Where you recognize the cost, you're aware, like, this is what's going to happen, this is why it's going to be hard, and then you still choose, yes, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to keep my vow. And so don't rush into making vows for the Lord. I'd like to invite Nikki up. He's going to lead us during this time of worship. But we're going to do circle worship. So I want to invite you up to the front. Grab a chair for yourself. And we're going to worship and pray together in a circle. You guys come on up.
I'll give you a Thank you. I'll get you a chair.
Oh, I think that's good. I think we have enough chairs. Smaller group today. Let's just take a moment. Especially the proverb on different weights, different measures is an abomination to the Lord. Let's just search our hearts. If there's any area where we haven't been fully honest, fully transparent, maybe it's with friends, family, relationships, work. Let's just go before the Lord and not just repent, but also try to understand why. Why were we dishonest? Why were we not completely real? What is it that we put our trust in instead of the Lord? And have the Holy Spirit just search your heart, and then just take some time to put your trust back in the Lord. Repent. And repent.
Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. You open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in the love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Let's first pray for ourselves. Let's pray for your relationship with Jesus, that he would, just as this song, he would be your firm foundation. He would be the rock in your life that is unchanging, that is consistent, that is reliable. And that as the Holy Spirit leads, we would also, and invites us to join in his work, that we would be quick to follow, and that we would not put our hope, our trust into things that are of this world, that is like sand, that changes, that is shaky. And so let's just pray for pray for ourselves. Let's also pray to the response that we had from Good Friday and Easter Resurrection Sunday, those who stood up, whether it be who said the prayer to confess that Jesus is Lord and inviting Jesus into their life, or those who made a recommitment. Let's pray for all those who responded, that it wouldn't just be a moment thing, but it would be a real change as they are born again, and that God would, it'd really be part of their everyday life now. Let's also pray for the house church leaders that are on break. Pray that they could be refreshed and restored, and just also have their passion to lead their house church revitalized, have a real passion and want to sow and be intentional with their house church. And just pray for the upcoming new house church term as well. Let's also pray for, we have a upcoming trip to India. It's just the Mission Council members. It's Tim, Pastor Navarro, and Mike. And they're going to India to support Kelly, one of our missionaries. And so let's pray for their preparation and just all the logistics, and pray for this trip. We just want to open the time up for any personal prayer requests, and we can pray for you together.